This podcast is for reference purposes only. It does not constitute legal advice and should not be relied upon as such. You should always obtain legal advice about your specific circumstances. Hello and welcome back everyone to Maddox on the Mic. You're listening to the very first Watchdog episode for this calendar year. The Watchdog series is a podcast where we discuss the ACCC's leading cases throughout the year and we assess how well they are performing against their enforcement priorities. My name is Sean Temby. I'm a partner in the dispute resolution and litigation team at Maddox. I'm also editor of our annual publication, the ACCC Year in Review. I should point out that we have recently published the ACCC Year in Review covering all of the enforcement activity of the ACCC last year. That's available on our website. If you haven't yet read it, I encourage you to do so. Today, I'll be taking you through key highlights from that publication, and we'll also spend a brief bit of time at the end looking at what we think the ACCC will be focused on this year. I should point out that we will find out the answer to that question when the ACCC present at the annual CEDA lunch at the beginning of March. So stay tuned for various updates from Maddox on that topic. All right. The very first thing that I want to focus on relates to what is now clearly a new direction for enforcement of consumer law breaches in particular. Regular listeners and readers of my various e-alerts will know that I have been speculating, let's use that word, for some time that the ACCC has changed direction under the relatively new leadership of Gina Cass-Gottlieb. By way of background, long-standing chair of the ACCC, Rod Sims, I think he was chair for nearly 12 years, stepped down about 18 months ago and was replaced by a former partner of a very well-known Australian law firm, Gilbert and Tobin, Miss Gina Cass-Gottlieb. And there was a lot of talk at the time about whether a change from Rod Sims, who was an economist, to a commercial lawyer with a lot of deep connections with the business community, whether that would lead to a change in focus and emphasis for the ACCC. I have been saying for probably close to a year now that I think that we had been seeing such a change. And what is, I think, now absolutely clear is that the ACCC is more focused on, let's call them pragmatic and quick and cost-effective outcomes, particularly for breaches of the Australian consumer law. I think they're less interested in establishing precedent or looking to secure, you know, large and significant penalties for offenders, except in the most extreme cases. And I think even Ms. Gina Cass-Gottlieb will admit that she is now focused on litigation that is national in nature, having regard to the ACCC's role as a national regulator, that some would say that is entirely appropriate, and that they need to be substantial matters, whether that be large numbers of consumers affected or significant vulnerable members of the community affected. Those criteria need to be satisfied in order for the ACCC to decide to take action. And instead, what we're seeing is the ACCC looking at negotiated outcomes and increasingly the use of infringement notices in order to deliver those quick outcomes for consumers. So that's a real change for the ACCC. And we can see that in the number of matters brought by the ACCC last year for consumer law breaches. It was about half of its long-term annual average for those types of proceedings. So we saw six proceedings last year, six new proceedings, when the long-term average is around 11. So definitely we can see that change now. Real question for me is, what's that going to mean for consumer outcomes if businesses are less concerned about ACCC prosecutions? Rod Sims was very famous in saying that he was concerned that consumer law breaches were regarded by business and the fines that attached to them as merely the cost of doing business. And he was very passionate about bringing proceedings in order to change that perception by businesses so that they were very much focused on compliance. The question is whether or not this new attitude and approach by the ACCC will undermine a lot of that good work that came about as a consequence of Rod Sims' focus on this area. All right, that's all I want to say about that. we'll watch that play out for the rest of this year. The next thing I want to move on to is mergers. We have heard a lot from the ACCC in the past 2 years on the need for changes to merger laws. We are going to continue to hear from the ACCC about the need for changes in this area. This is no surprise given Ms. Cascott-Leib's background as a competition law specialist and also effectively for calling out companies for gaming the merger clearance process. And so changes that are being advocated for by the ACCC, and there's a range of them, and they've outlined, you know, a number of different options, you know, each getting more extreme. But effectively, some of the ones that are of greater interest are a mandatory notification requirement. At the moment, businesses that are merging don't have to come to the ACCC and let them know. And that's quite different than in a lot of other comparable economies overseas. The ACCC is proposing that all significant mergers or mergers above a particular threshold should be notified. They're also talking about an automatic suspension period once that notification requirement is met. So in other words, businesses have to come to the ACCC and say, we're merging. And then once they make that notification, then the transaction cannot complete until such time as the ACCC makes a decision or, you know, a statutory period expires. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with those mergers. They've been opposed by lots of businesses and business groups. And I suspect as that topic develops and as it gets greater consideration by Treasury and government, we will see some of the more extreme suggestions from the ACCC fall away and a focus on some of the more pragmatic recommendations. I think a mandatory notification obligation is almost a dead certainty, but let's see. Okay, moving back to the area of consumer protection. As I said, there's been less activity in this space in the last 12 months than we would ordinarily see. A couple of things worth noting. The ACCC issued 2 infringement notices against Costco for misleading place of origin labels that related to lobster products. We saw 2 infringement notices against Pet Circle for alleged misleading conduct concerning the online price of pet supplies. And at the end of the year, we saw 8 infringement notices concerning statements made by Riff Raff Baby about the safety of their comforter toys. Now, this really underscores the comments that I made earlier about the fact that we're going to see the ACCC more frequently use infringement notices and their infringement notice power than was previously the case. Also of interest, the ACCC chose negotiated outcomes over court proceedings for its concerns regarding the conduct of both Mitsubishi Motors and also Moo Premium Foods. I should point out, of course, that there were some significant proceedings brought, in particular against Qantas for the so-called ghost flights and also against eHarmony for alleged misleading statements about their pricing. So you can see that both of those proceedings satisfy the test that I gave you earlier, which is that the matters were of national significance and were sufficiently serious to justify the commencement of court proceedings. So it's not a complete movement away from the ACCC from that type of activity, but it really needs to be at that level in order for them to litigate. All right, another one of the really significant changes that is worth mention is the unfair contract terms regime came into effect in November in 2023. Substantial changes to that regime, most significantly the introduction of civil penalties for breaches of the unfair contract terms regime. And you can breach it as a business in relation to business-to-consumer transactions or business-to-business transactions where at least one of the parties is a small business. And the definition for that has changed too. So if you're not up to date with that, look at the information on our website because it's significantly expanded the number of businesses caught. But as I said, the introduction of civil penalties for including an unfair contract term in your contract or for attempting to enforce it or rely on it. And we are predicting that the ACCC is going to be very focused on this area in 2024. So if you don't have your house in order, and let me tell you, we saw a lot of businesses rushing towards the end of last year to do so. If you haven't yet had a look at your standard terms for B2C or B2B contracts, now is the time to do it. All right, let's move on to cartels and anti-competitive conduct. I think the ACCC can be rightfully proud and congratulate itself for its successful conclusion of several civil prosecutions for cartels and other anti-competitive conduct last year. The ACCC obtained record penalties in both the BlueScope Steel Limited cartel conduct case in August of 2023 and also in the resale price maintenance case against Tektronic Industries Australia. And that outcome was achieved right at the end of last year in December. Now, BlueScope was ordered to pay $57.5 million in penalties. That's the highest penalty ever imposed for cartel conduct in Australia. The total penalties for Tektronic are the highest imposed for resale price maintenance in Australia at $15 million. I should also say that new civil proceedings were also commenced by the ACCC against Swift Networks for alleged bid rigging. What we didn't see, however, was any new criminal prosecutions for cartel conduct, other than follow-on proceedings against Aussie Skips Recycling, which was related to proceedings that the ACCC had previously successfully brought in this sector. So that's significant. You'll all remember, I think, the collapse of the ACCC's case against a number of banks in relation to the ANZ capital raise. And the case was thrown out because of the quality of the evidence gathering. And we haven't really seen any significant criminal prosecution since then. And the question, real question is, will we see them in 2024? I suspect we will. All right, moving on then to consumer markets, retail and franchising. The ACCC continued its focus on poor standards and conduct in the franchising sector. It had several successful enforcement actions against both franchisors and retailers for consumer law breaches. And there were also a number of significant policy and regulatory developments. Also worth noting that the ACCC, in its submission to the review of the franchising code, yes, another one by Dr. Schaefer, that they were calling for a radical shakeup of the franchising sector in Australia and the introduction of a licensing regime. This isn't something that was accepted by Michael Schaefer. He didn't think that such a radical change was necessary in his report that was handed down a couple of weeks ago. Once again, there's an update on our website about that if you're not up to date with the outcome of that inquiry. Short answer is, not a whole lot of significant changes have been introduced or should be introduced as a consequence, because his recommendations were really for a tightening up of some obvious problems, but no radical changes. All right, that brings me to energy. Really, the ACCC, I think, was very focused on the rising cost of living, in particular escalating electricity prices, and that put this sector in the spotlight for the Commission last year. However, there were fewer prosecutions than we expected to see. Really, the ACCC, through monitoring and the federal government through various regulatory mechanisms, sought to place downward pressure on energy suppliers and costs, such as the government's emergency cap price measure, which was implemented at the end of 2022. So I should say we don't expect there really to be much changes in the ACCC's approach to this sector in 2024, and they will continue an ongoing and active engagement with the sector and an ongoing monitoring role, trying to drive behaviours as a consequence of that oversight. Similar comments can be made in relation to telecommunications. I won't bother going into that in too much more detail because there wasn't a lot that happened in that space last year. I also want to then talk about technology and data. We have had a lot of activity by the ACCC as they have started to really view consumer data as something of significant value that needs to be protected. And they've been working what used to be called the Privacy Commissioner, and other regulatory agencies to try and bring renewed focus and protections for consumer data, in particular in relation to digital platforms. We've had the ongoing review of digital platforms and the Digital Platform Services Inquiry, which the government asked the ACCC to conduct, I think, nearly 5 years ago. In that inquiry, the ACCC examined the significant consumer harm resulting from the lack of competition in social media, the lack of adequate safeguards against scams, and the ever-increasing expansion of large digital platforms through their growing product and service offerings. So together with the Office of the Australian Information Commissioner, the old Privacy Commissioner that I just mentioned, The ACCC oversaw developments in the consumer data rights regime, with new rules being implemented for business consumers and focusing on improving the regime's efficacy. Now, one of the things which we did not see was a significant number of prosecutions or infringement notices against social media influencers, despite the ACCC finding that over 80% of those that they looked at, and they looked at a significant number, that over 80% of those had engaged in some form of concerning behaviour. I would say that under the old regime, under the Rod Sims leadership, we would have seen more enforcement activity as a consequence of some pretty glaring problems with social media influencers and their compliance with the Australian Consumer Law. As I said right at the very start, though, new regime, new rules. All right, similar comments can be made in relation to greenwashing. We had a large amount of noise and media attention about both the ACCC and ASIC conducting a large review of publicly available information and websites to test whether or not businesses were complying with the Australian Consumer Law in relation to truthful, honest, and accurate environmental claims, or whether they were engaging in what has become known as greenwashing. And we were predicting last year, as a consequence of all of that hype and all of that activity, that we would see a number of large and significant prosecutions of, you know, Australian businesses to try and drive the message through to the business community that greenwashing claims are simply not on. We did not see that. I was surprised, very surprised we didn't see that. And what it appears the ACCC has done is that they have engaged with businesses one-on-one and gotten businesses to agree to make changes to websites and, you know, product labelling and other promotional material in order to bring them into line with the Australian Consumer Law. Now, the ACCC might say that is a far better outcome for consumers than prosecutions, and we'll see whether they're right, I guess, moving forward. So you've heard a lot from me today about the ACCC's new focus. I'm really interested to see what the ACCC will be saying in a week or two at the beginning of March for the announcement of their enforcement priorities. Let's see whether the current trajectory is maintained. I think we'll have a big focus on mergers. I think there'll be a lot of discussion about cost of living, supermarket power, supermarket, you know, prices and alleged price gouging, and probably prosecution of businesses around unfair contract terms in order to really highlight for businesses that there's a new regime and the impetus for and the importance of making changes has changed as a consequence. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Watchdog. We'll be having a lot more episodes this year. If you have any questions, please head to our website and be sure to get in touch. And if you like this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks very much.